Dr. Fur-Holden, welcome back to Stateside.
Thanks for having me.
So why is the state in such a bad situation right now when we know that states that have even fewer restrictions aren't seeing quite the same spikes that we are?
We've got a couple of problems. So a lot of things happen at the same time that I think contributed to our spread. One, reopening did impact our spread, right? Students went back to school, athletes engaged in sports, restaurants, bars, gyms, all of those things reopened. It happened at the same time as this vaccination effort, but I don't think we've taken into account adequately variants and the fact that variants are an unequal competitor for vaccines. We're just learning about the impact of the currently available vaccines on preventing spread of variants of the virus. And Michigan being one of the states where we have the greatest number of variants, I think is having variants outpace our vaccination efforts.
Do you anticipate that as the B.1.1.7 variant spreads or potentially other variants come into the country and spread as well, that we'll see similar spikes happen in other hot spots in the country as well?
I think that's predictable. Anytime, this is epidemiology, disease transmission 101. Anytime you increase the likelihood of people coming in contact with one another, you increase spread of disease, especially a disease that's airborne. So the variants, I think, are going to be more and more of a problem. And we're also seeing that we have our own homegrown variants. And we're going to have to do a lot of work to understand how those variants are related to the original strains. B.1.1.7 in particular is especially problematic because it seems to spread a lot easier than the original forms of the virus. And so we're just going to have to continue the surveillance and do everything that we can to prevent spread.
So I read this quote from you in the New York Times, if I can just read it. You said, it's hard for me to have hope when I don't see the basic public health precautions being implemented and sustained. And then you went on to say, if we continue the way we've been going, we're going to continue to get what we've been getting, which is these ebbs and flows and these spikes. It will be a vicious cycle and the vaccines will not be able to keep pace. And when I read that last part, I took the breath out of me because we've been talking about this as if it's a foot race between COVID and vaccine with the assumption that eventually vaccine will catch up. But it sounds like what you're saying is it could be an unwinnable race. Is that true?
Well, think of it this way. So if you look at the daily number of people who are getting either their first or second dose of vaccine, depending on what vaccine they're getting, it looks like we're winning because we're vaccinating way more people than who are contracting the virus every day.
Right.
But think of the variants as having a jetpack, right? The virus has a jetpack. And if you hit the jetpack on the virus, it can move much faster and cause a lot more infection, disability, and potentially death than will be prevented with the safe and very good vaccines that we have available. So the primary thing that we need to be doing is doing everything that we can to stop spread. If we stop spread, we also stop the spread of variants. In the absence of those basic public health measures being implemented in every state and every city, what we do is we create pockets of spread, and then all of us are at risk. So what happens in Ohio very much will determine what happens in Michigan. Mm-hmm. What happens in Florida, we figured out, affects every part of our country. Why? Because a lot of people went to Florida for spring break and they brought that virus back to their communities. So people who opted to stay home, people who are continuing to honor the shelter in place orders and masking up and practicing good hand hygiene almost have no choice but to be at the effect of the actions and reactions and behaviors of their neighbors. So this is the time for us to tighten up because we do have good quality vaccines who would be a game changer. The vaccines would be a game changer, but only if we're able to stop spread.
So is this a case of As the virus continues to mutate and is in the public body, that the risk is that the more it continues to mutate, the less effective a vaccine would be. So part of the goal is to stop it from spreading, to mutate faster than we can get people vaccinated?
Sure, because mutations are common, right? All viruses mutate. The speed with which they mutate, the extent of the mutations, and then what those mutations mean for prevention and vaccine effectiveness, all of that, because this is a new virus in the human population, remains to be seen. This is not a lesson that we want to learn the hard way.
Right.
We don't want to find out after it's too late. What we want to do is give the vaccine an opportunity to do what it was designed to do, which is prevent people from getting sick in the first place. And this notion that we can get to herd immunity by combining natural immunity with vaccine-induced immunity is not good public health. Public health is not about people getting sick. Public health is about preventing people from getting sick in the first place. And for us to do that well, we've got to give the vaccine a chance to be prevalent in the community and have the lion's share of our population protected from infection.
The lieutenant governor was on CNN over the weekend and said we can vaccinate our way out of this, which is definitely in line with the optimistic tone that the Whitmer administration is taking right now. But is it possible to vaccinate our way out of this at the pace that things are going right now?
It's possible, but so much needs to be in place for that to be the case. And unfortunately, things like not wearing a mask have become a political statement. We have literally let politics get in the way of good public health, and all of the political meddling around preventing these very robust measures that we know which would help us ensure that the people who are most at risk and most in need get the vaccine first, I think are the kinds of barriers that none of us can anticipate. So the optimism, I think, really to me needs to be backed by real action. This is one of those things where I think the shared value that we all have for human life needs to win the day. And right now, I don't feel like that's what's happening. I feel like we've got some people with goodwill, and then we have others with political will. And I do think that's complicating the story. And it's a variable that's hard to integrate when we talk about hope and optimism for what could be.
Last week, I read that Dr. Mona Hanna Attisha from Flint, she really would like to see the state just go into a two-week, across-the-board shutdown again to get a hold of spread so that the vaccine has a chance to catch up. Is that, in your mind, what might be the most called-for action at the moment as well?
Because this is a public health crisis, I think that type of action is warranted. And we all know that the governor's executive powers have been exceeded, and she would not be able to do that without approval from our state legislature. And I do believe fundamentally that that's what's needed. And I also think that people need the resources that they need to be able to weather that storm. But from a public health perspective, it is imperative that we do everything we can, including legislative action, to stop spread of disease. If we want the vaccine to outpace the spread of the virus, it's what's going to be needed.
When it comes to that message of personal responsibility, that we are at this place now where the onus should be on the individual to do what's right for the greater good, do we find historically that that message works when it comes to public health?
It's a hard sell, I think, for many people, because if you feel like you've categorically been left out of the greater good, whether you be a resident living in a underserved rural community, whether you be African-American living in an inner city that has, you know, come apart at the seams due to economic divestment and low political will, it's hard to now, in this time of crisis, convince people that they should be operating for a greater good that they never felt like in the first place that they were a part of. So I do think personal responsibility is important, but it's not enough. We have to demonstrate for people that we do value all lives. And before I think you can convince somebody that they should make a choice for the greater good, we've got to continue to do the work to make sure that people understand they are a part of the society and that their life matters. And in the absence of that, I think that message will fall on deaf ears for many people.
Dr. Deborah Furr-Holden is an epidemiologist and public health expert at Michigan State University. Dr. Furr-Holden, thank you so much for joining us again.
Thanks for having me.